Okay, I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 26, and this is where we had left off. I had a longer sermon, but I won't use that today, but I'm going to just make a few running comments on the as Jesus is being led away to be crucified. And it says, this is after, of course, we saw last week how Pilate had tried to weasel his way out of the judgment of Jesus, and in the end, it didn't do him any good. But he released him to be crucified. Now remember that Jesus had already been whipped and beaten. The Bible says this, his visage was marred more than any man's. That's from the book of Isaiah. That means he was beaten to a pulp. He had been beaten by the Roman soldiers. They had ripped the beard out of his face. And any of you guys, if anybody ever plucked a piece of hair off your beard, you know what it feels like. Imagine they had ripped the beard out of his face. They had lashed him mercilessly. They had thrust a crown of thorns on his head. It had been embedded into his scalp. He would have lost a lot of blood. The agony that he was bearing, not only the physical, but the mental, emotional, and psychological suffering was beyond what we can even imagine. And he's heading for the cross. Now, one of the marks of a criminal was that they were to bear their cross. They were to drag their cross to the place of execution. And it was a statement, I'm guilty. This was a statement that we were saying by carrying that cross, it was evident to everyone who was along the way, and there was a pathway out of Jerusalem to Calvary where crucifixions happened, where Romans put criminals to death. And the Italian name for it was the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Suffering. And so Jesus heads down that road, and he, as he's trying to bear his cross, as he's trying to bear it to Calvary, the absolute weakness of it, the weight of it, and the suffering of our Savior, what he had carried to this hour was so much that he was stumbling and unable to go any further. So along comes a man named Simon a Cyrenian from Africa. That's where Cyrene would have been. And he would have been there, as no doubt many more were. This was the Passover. The population of Jerusalem would have swollen to close to 1 million people. And he would have been there to celebrate the Passover like the others. Never in his wildest dreams would he have imagined himself carrying the cross of a guilty criminal. This would have been a shameful position to be in. He didn't have any choice in the matter, however, because they compelled him to bear that cross. On the route to the crucifixion, there would have been multitudes of people who would gather along the way to look at the criminals. Now, already there had been two thieves that had made the journey, and then Jesus was on his way. And they would have, at times, they would mock, they would shout insults, they would throw objects at those who were on their way to be crucified because they were in derision, they were hated, they were despised, they were criminals, they deserved to die. That was the attitude that was there. And so here's a man who, for all in all intents and purposes, didn't do anything wrong worthy of this, was in that crowd. He must have been right alongside. Whether he was jeering or not, we don't know. But we do know that he must have had been a pretty strong-looking guy, and the Roman soldiers saw him, and they pressed him into service. They compelled him to have to carry the cross that Jesus should have borne. There might be a statement here from the Lord, maybe a subtle statement in saying, my son's not guilty. He didn't deserve to bear this cross. However it was, the Spirit of God and the sovereignty of God permitted it to be so that Jesus did not drag that cross up that hill. Instead, someone did it for him. There was an act of mercy even there from the Father's hand in the midst of the sufferings of Jesus. And so they laid that cross on Simon. What do we know of Simon of Cyrene? Later on in the epistles, we find out. As a matter of fact, here it speaks in the Gospel of Matthew, it speaks about his two sons, who their sons were. How did the writer know these two sons? Well, one of them was Rufus. And later on, we hear about Rufus in the epistles. So when we put this together, it's not far to assume that this divine encounter that Simon had with Jesus Christ was an encounter where he did truly end up embracing the cross of Jesus Christ. It seems as if his sons became believers. Why would they become believers? Why would even Luke know who his sons were? A stranger from Africa of all places. What other reason but that Simon must have wanted to know who this criminal was? Who was it that I carried his cross up that hill? Who was this man that was so reviled and hated? No doubt he heard the things that were said by Jesus on that journey, which we'll take a moment to read today. But it must have been an incredible experience for this man. Indeed, it seems as if it was a life-changing experience that he had. He encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. He encountered the cross of Christ, the death of Christ. And I can imagine that he invested that energy and time to drag that cross up the hill, that he remained at Calvary. And he heard the words of Jesus as he was suffering and dying. Perhaps he heard him speak over to a dying thief and say, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So this divine encounter, which at first must have seemed an awful curse, as suddenly he was compelled to bear a criminal's cross, ended up being his salvation and the salvation of his family. God is good, friends. Somehow on our journey of life, God brings us into encounters with Jesus Christ. Each of us differently, each of us in our own way, but God wants to meet us on the road of life. He wants us to come with him to Calvary. He wants us to come alongside. And at one point, Jesus said that if a man wants to be my disciple, he must take up his cross and follow me. Friends, that cross, his cross, is our cross. We, too, go to the place of shame. We go to the place of death. We go to the place where we say, "It's not my life anymore. It belongs to Jesus Christ." We go to the place where we see him crucified for our sins. We accept by faith that our sins were paid for by him. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Who himself bore our own sins in his body on the tree." This is what he has done. And so, like Simon, we need a divine encounter with Jesus Christ. Like Simon, we need to come alongside of the Lord Jesus. And like Simon, we need to go to the foot of the cross and understand what it is, the salvation that was won there, a salvation that it seems very evident that Simon embraced, and eventually his own family came to faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, God is good, friends. God is awesome. That he would grab a man from Africa, bring him all the way to the cross, and bring salvation to him and to his family. I tell you, there's no mistakes with God. And so the divine encounters that each of us have had up to this time in our lives have been for the purpose of us discovering salvation through Jesus Christ, of us putting our faith and hope and trust in him who died for us. The events of the cross we won't look at today. We'll do that next week, and we'll carry on from there. But for today, I want you to think about Simon of Cyrene, an African guy who didn't have any thought of salvation, no doubt, as he landed there, came to worship, was a believer as much as he knew. And here's the thing of it all, friends. Many people are believers as much as they know, like Simon. In the book of Acts, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a believer as much as he knew. He was seeking to please God. He was hoping to walk with God as much as he knew. And many people are in that position where they've known some things about God and they're believers in God to that point. But I want to challenge you today that this man named Cornelius in the book of Acts, like Simon, was a worshiper of God, was a man who tried to do his best and to worship God and follow God. But an angel actually appeared to him and told this man, Cornelius, you need to send for somebody, which was Peter. You need to send for him to come to you to show you the way of salvation. So you might be a believer in God. You might believe as much as you have known up to this hour. But there is a point where you need to go farther. And that's why Peter had to come and share with Cornelius the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. How through the cross of Christ your sins can be totally paid for and forgiven. How that you must take a step of faith to believe in him as your own Lord and Savior. So God creates the divine encounters. And he draws us towards them. But then again, we need to respond and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, I accept the cross. I accept what it means for my life, that I'm willing to turn from sin and I'm willing to put my faith and trust in you. I'm willing to die with you, Jesus. I'm willing to rise with you. I'm willing to say it's not my life anymore, that you've bought me with a price, the precious blood of Christ. I'm willing to say, Lord, you take over my very whole life. You take over my being. I'm willing to lay down my life here, Lord, and I'm willing to be accepted by you for full salvation. I'm willing to believe that my sins have been totally paid for by the Christ who died on that cross. Cornelius needed that. Simon needed that. And you need that. That's the truth of the matter. That truth doesn't change. But thank God that he is full of mercy and grace and that he's calling people to a divine encounter with him. What does it take? Oh, to simply believe, to trust him for the fullness of your forgiveness and the salvation of your soul. And God will save. And subsequent to that, get baptized. Not to be saved, but to proclaim, I have died to an old way of life. I have risen to a new way of life. I am now one who follows Jesus Christ. Because baptism is a representation of the cross. It shows death and burial. And if you actually get taken up out of the water, resurrection. Let me encourage you to take those steps of faith in believing and in moving forward in your Christianity. Baptism is not to be saved, but it is definitely a proclamation of it. So Simon bore the cross. It says a great multitude of people followed him. There was no small crowd there that day as Jesus was being led to be crucified. But it also says, and women also mourned and lamented him. I thank God for women. I thank God for the passion and compassion of women. It doesn't say the men were behind him mourning. Somebody was doing the mocking. But thank God for the women. The women who were weeping. The women who were sensitive. The women who knew who Jesus was. Who had put their faith and trust in him. You know, I have found over the years women are seen to me more quick to respond to the gospel than men. I wonder why that might be.
Pride.
Thank you, Gary. Pride. Men are so full of pride, sometimes it's leaking out of their ears. And the women are agreeing 100%. There are many soft-hearted men, but it seems our culture and societies have almost bred it into men not to look soft, not to look weak, not to be humbled, not to be sensitive as often as women are. Now, that doesn't mean that women are more favored. No, anybody can come. But here's what happens. If we do not humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we will not be saved. And sometimes I feel it's harder for men to do that. I know for myself, it's harder. So I thank God for the women who were there, who lamented and mourned for him. And as they were weeping, Jesus turned to them and he said this, Daughters of Jerusalem, Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Jesus was about to tell them not a very nice picture. Jerusalem and Israel had decided, we don't want this Savior. We don't want this Jesus to rule over us. The rejection of Jesus Christ brought about cataclysmic events, because just 40 years later, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was sieged and besieged. It was surrounded by Titus and his armies, and a horrible situation happened where that whole city was completely obliterated, where they were starved out under siege, where mothers actually cooked their own babies to save their own skin as the people were starving to death. Jesus said to them, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed. He said, a time will come when they'll say, the women that don't have children are the blessed ones, because of the anguish that would come. They will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills to cover us. For Jesus said this, if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? Now that might sound like a little bit of a puzzle, but listen, what he's saying, there's a green tree now. This is the greatest, most fruitous time. I'm here in your presence. This is the green tree. And if they will kill the Son of God in the green tree, in the time when here is God in all of his glory being presented to them in the person of Jesus Christ, if they are going to kill me, what is going to happen in the dry times? What's going to happen when there is no presence, when there is no Jesus standing here? What will be done in the dry?
Here's a little picture of what's in Revelation.
It does. It almost double prophecies, because there will come a time when people will be in the same kind of anguish, because Colin is right. Right now, there's still a green tree. There's still that wonderful opportunity to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but a day will come when it will be dry, friends. A day will come when great persecution will come. It will be much more difficult to call on the Lord in those days. As someone proclaims, either take the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, or put your faith in Christ. It's going to be one or the other. What will be done in the dry? What does that tell us? Now is always the time. Now is the time to embrace Christ. Now is the time to say, Lord, I don't want there to be one small question mark in my mind as to my salvation. I don't want to have a niggling doubt, Lord. Think of it this way. What if the dry tree came to you right now? What if in this moment, a minute from now, you knew that you were going to go into eternity and you were going to face the judge of heaven and earth? Would you be able to say, I know that all my sins are covered. I know I'm saved. Or would there be this fear? I'm not sure. Don't go out into eternity unsure. Still a green tree. Trust Christ today. Say, okay, Lord, I want to settle this for sure. I don't want this to be held back. I want to know for certain the fullness of pardon, the forgiveness of my sins, because he offers it to you, and he offers it to you today by faith, and if you will believe it, you will receive it. It's good news. Christ went to Calvary. He on that road, even as he was on his way to be crucified, there was a divine encounter with Simon. There was a warning given, and I tell you, Jesus is so full of mercy and compassion. He wants divine encounters, and he still gives warnings because he loves the human race so much. Next week, we will go to the cross and see what was accomplished there.